Happy Wednesday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our macro minute for Wednesday, March 25th, 2026. Hope everyone's having a great week. As always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's leadoff morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, should investors chase or fade rallies? The answer is, traders can continue to have an action bias sponsored party, but investors should continue to beware of temporary reprieve in this conflict. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis, starting with the growth cycle. The US's preliminary March composite PMI data did not support our paradigm C theme. Recall that paradigm C is the grow phase of the cut, grow, print sequence required to address the geopolitically driven supply demand imbalance in the treasury bond market, which has been our core research view since the summer of 2023. The S&P global PMIs have been a leading indicator for the ISM PMIs in recent years and signal a slowdown in the months ahead. Elsewhere, analysts have consistently upgraded U.S. earnings expectations throughout the geopolitical conflict, with the S&P 500 index profits projected to increase roughly 12% year-over-year in Q1 and 20% in 2026 on a Q4 over Q4 basis. This is consistent with our paradigm C, productivity boom, jobless recovery, and cooling housing and labor themes. None of these themes matter much as long as the current global liquidity crisis persists. Traders can continue to have an action bias sponsored party, but investors should continue to beware of temporary reprieve in this conflict because the left tail of the distribution of probable outcomes has yet to be seriously entertained by equity and credit markets because of how accurate we have been regarding the aforementioned fundamental themes, which are all bullish. Again, let me finish the statement before I go there. Permanent control of the Strait of Hormuz is a far more meaningful catalyst for asset markets from here, given the precondition of a historic degree of crowded bullish positioning. Recall that we entered this year with our positioning model signaling that investors' consensus was as lopsidedly bullish as they have been in any market cycle dating back to 1987. So just summarizing that, investors came into the year as lopsidedly bullish as they've ever been, at least back to over the last 40 years or so. And in our view, the reason they were so lopsidedly bullish is because we've been right in forecasting all of this positive economic development that is now showing up in earnings expectations. But as we say in this call out, you have to beware, given the precondition of all that crowded bullish positioning and the Bayesian prior amongst most investors of all this positive stuff. You know, once the positive stuff ends, that's how you unwind the positioning cycle. And so we're concerned about that from a medium term perspective, given what we're about to talk about in the inflation cycle. So let's just pivot right to it. Iran stated foreign vessels may transit the Strait of Hormuz, provided they are not supporting aggression against Iran and comply with Tehran's new regulatory framework. These remarks were delivered in a letter distributed Tuesday to the International Maritime Organization members. Despite Iran's new supreme leader, Mojtaba Khamenei, previously advocating closure of the strait, the letter articulates a more refined and conditional policy stance, likely signaling Beijing's influence on the developments. Most notably, Iranian officials indicated oil prices will not revert to prior levels until all threats against the nation are eliminated. This is exactly what we have been warning about regarding Iran controlling the marginal supply of global energy products in our prior two leadoff morning notes. The U.S. administration has taken many L's in recent months, according to a broad swath of polling data and special elections across the country, including in Mar-a-Lago last night. Effectively ceding control of global energy markets to the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism would be the biggest L of them all, which is precisely why we believe this conflict is likely to drag on well beyond Friday's detente deadline. Elsewhere in the UK, the February CPI and PPI data generally did not support our outlook for slowing inflation. With regards to the fiscal policy cycle, and liquidity cycles, nothing actionable with respect to our Bayesian priors. Transitioning to the positioning cycle, Iran dismissed a ceasefire overture and labeled U.S. negotiations as, quote, illogical for the semi-official Fars News Agency. Recall that President Trump very recently confirmed that the U.S. had been negotiating with Iran regarding a proposed 15-point framework encompassing sanctions relief, a rollback of Iran's nuclear program, and constraints on missiles and unfettered access to the Strait of Hormuz. Iran, via its semi-official Fars outlet, asserted that it will not accept the ceasefire under current conditions and deemed such an arrangement as presently infeasible. Moreover, Iran's forces reinforced a steady stream of communications rejecting ceasefire negotiations according to the state-run IRIB News. In a stronger show of rejection, Iran continues strikes targeting Arab Gulf states in Israel. Mohammed Bagher Ghalibaf, Iran's Speaker of Parliament, former Tehran mayor, and ex-Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps commander, has consolidated influence within Iran's wartime leadership. Ghalibaf's historical record and wartime rhetoric suggest Iran will remain resistant to U.S. demands. He is known for being a staunch defender of Iran's nearly 50-year-old theocratic system and has recently implied Iran is prevailing by disrupting global energy markets and exerting economic pressure on President Trump. Perhaps more importantly, Ghalibaf is a close friend of Iran's new supreme leader, Mojtaba Khamenei. Their friendship extends back to the Iran-Iraq war, which ended nearly 40 years ago. Investors must prepare for both sides of this geopolitical conflict to dig in. So as always, continue reviewing to learn whether our institutional grade risk management overlays, KISS and Dr. Mo, are evolving their signals in response to these or anticipated fundamental dynamics. As always, transitioning to our 42 macro dashboard here, as always, we'll wrap up with a question from our community. This one's called titled The Hormuz Tax. It says, good morning, Darius. A quick question. If Iran gets away with just taxing the Strait of Hormuz, isn't that a tolerable outcome for asset markets? It's just one more thing to plan and invest around, mundane even, from finally defrosting Helsinki. I'll tell you right now, New York's barely defrosting as well. So cheers to you, my friend. So, yes, I think this is a reasonable, palatable outcome for asset markets, particularly in the context of those positive fundamental themes we've been anchored on, paradigm C, the run it hot theme, which we pivoted to back in April of last year when everybody was freaking out about tariffs, productivity boom, jobless recovery, cooling housing and labor. These are all things that should perpetuate a faster growth rate of corporate profits. And so in our view, we think the markets can generally trade well if the result of this conflict is, okay, Iran's just, you know, charging a tax on ships going through the Strait of Hormuz. The issue, the bigger issue, in my perspective, is the global liquidity crisis that we've been talking about over the past few days and perhaps week or so. And the reason I bring that up is because, again, you think about the barrels of crude oil that generate revenues, you know, for those regions. If the war goes on and those barrels do not get on boats and generate revenues for the Gulf Coast economies in those regions, then those sovereign wealth funds, which are some of the biggest sovereign wealth funds in the rest of in the world, won't be able to, you know, hit the bid on global capital markets like they've consistently done over the years. Moreover, the economies that need those barrels of crude oil, particularly in Japan, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Singapore, Indonesia, all these economies, India, all these Asian economies that need these barrels of crude oil to generate production, won't be able to generate the profits, the household savings, and the foreign exchange reserves that they have historically used to, backstop global capital markets. So, you know, this is a liquidity crisis, as we talked about yesterday's in yesterday's macro minute with Turkey arranging for, you know, large sales of its of gold reserves. You know, this is the kind of thing that if those barrels of crude oil are removed from the market, we have big problems. If the barrels of crude oil are on the market, no matter what price they are, we're fine. I think the markets can generally look through a Hormuz tax. But to me, it's not about the tax. It's about whether or not the marginal supply is being restricted at all. You know, there's a chance that Iran could, you know, decide to say, okay, if you're a friend of ours, we will ship you barrels of crude oil. If you're not a friend of ours, we won't allow you to ship barrels of crude oil, and we won't allow you to receive those barrels of crude oil. That's an incredibly untenable outcome from the perspective of the administration. And so I doubt that is the ultimate end here, but getting to something that would be a tenable outcome if that's the position that Ghalibaf and Khamenei decide to take, it's going to require a much more prolonged conflict in our opinion. And we don't think markets are effectively pricing that in yet, particularly not the equity and credit markets. So, wrapping up, we'll just wrap up with a comment from one of the members of our global investor community. This one titled Looking Back on a Year in KISS. It says, DD, I've been a 42 macro subscriber for about a year, and it's been an incredible experience. Before Liberation Day, I had spent years sitting in cash, influenced by the endless stream of YouTube bears calling for the next imminent and always plausible market crash. I had even seen you on Thoughtful Money and remember wondering why you were so bullish. I felt like a kid trying to jump into the game of double dutch. I just couldn't find my way back into the market, which is very consistent. Our friend Tom Keene over at Bloomberg, which I'll be on next month, he consistently talks about this kind of go to cash and stay at cash mentality that a lot of folks in his generation and the generation after that have been forced to learn, this bad habit they've been forced to learn as a function of the global financial crisis and the dot-com bust. Getting back into the comment, then Liberation Day hit. While people were panicking, I was buying Voo. A few days later, sentiment shifted. I sold for quick profit, and I found myself asking, now what? I had decent instincts, but no real framework. That was the moment I decided to take some of the money I made on the trade and buy what you call institutional grade risk management. I needed guidance on when to be in, when to be out, and how not to white knuckle every market move. I joined 42 Macro and implemented KISS right away. Since then, my portfolio has grown more than 20%. I'm not suddenly on the verge of retirement. I'm in my 40s with young kids, but I truly feel confident I can get there on time, maybe even enjoy the ride along the way. Right there with you. So appreciate being side by side with you on this journey. I'll see you in the Mediterranean in 20 years. As a year plus subscriber, sure, I can look back and wish I had top tick gold. That's just human nature. But if on the day I implemented KISS, you had shown me where I'd eventually be exiting gold, I would have never have believed it. That whole experience is exactly what a positively skewed return distribution feels like in real life. I'll leave you with this. I didn't go to college. I worked my way up in construction, built a decent career. I also didn't learn much about money from my family. And I did learn one thing from my dad: save diligently, live below your means, and let time work for you. He's a state worker who saved his way into a sizable nest egg by being basically naked long the S&P 500 for decades. So appreciate this kind of feedback. You know, this is exactly why we built the company. You know, we're here to eradicate, not just narrow, completely eradicate the performance, the habits, and the lifestyle asymmetry between the folks we serve across the global buy side, the institutional investors we serve, and been partnered with us and partnered with me personally for years, for almost two decades. We want to eradicate that asymmetry between what they're experiencing from a lifestyle, performance, habits perspective, and what the general investing public feels. So it always warms my heart when I find folks who are just ordinary people, regular people, people who grew up maybe not like me. I had a very extreme left tail experience as a child, but as someone up until the time I got to college. But it means a lot to be uplifting ordinary folks and people. It feels great to not just be making rich people rich, with the 65 to 85, 90 hours a week I spend working. Getting back into the comment, I can't change his approach, but I can improve it on my own turn. That is what I appreciate most about KISS. It's nearly as simple as the classic just buy Voo strategy, but with the real framework for managing left tail risk. It gives the portfolio room to compound in the good times, offering protection when conditions turn against you. Thanks for all that you do. So, this is very thoughtful construction worker telling you that KISS is doing exactly what we've been telling you KISS has been doing for years, which is it creates a positively skewed return distribution in your portfolios, which I would argue most retail investors don't have the ability to do because they're not using institutional grade risk management. This is what institutions get paid to do for their clients. That's why they charge 2 and 20, or the folks who I mimic when we designed the KISS and Dr. Most systems, they charge 3 and 30 to their customers. And by and large, you can't become a customer of theirs because they generally have they generally don't want more money. They have too much money. That's why they're able to charge 3 and 30, 5 and 50 for certain funds of theirs. And so we try to mimic what we think is the best of across the global buy side from a macro risk management perspective and from a portfolio risk management perspective, particularly from the lens of portfolio construction, asset allocation, market timing. And those types of systems, particularly volatility targeting and dynamic position sizing, all being generated by systematic quantitative overlays, those are the systems that we use in KISS to create outcomes like this. And so if you want outcomes like this, come join us. If you want to keep doing what you're doing out there, we're happy to support you too. I just want to say thank you for putting up with these macro minutes. I know they've been long in recent months, but look, there's a lot going on. If you want to play the game at the highest level, then don't. But 42 Macro exists for those of you who do. So we'll keep doing what we're doing. So everyone have a wonderful day. Best of luck out there. Darius Dell here presenting our macro minute for Wednesday, March 25th, 2026. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice, and 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.